Our scripture text for our sermon this morning is taken from the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 23 in verse 24, and we're going to be focusing on these four words. We're actually going to be covering from there to the rest of the chapter, but we're going to be picking up on these words, in the seventh month. Now, in the Bible context, the Jewish calendar begins with the month of Nisan, which is in the spring. And this is also known as the Jewish religious calendar. In this month of Nisan, we have the first of three prescribed feasts of Israel: the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. These three feasts have been fulfilled in history in connection with Jesus' first coming. Jesus Christ is called our Passover in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. He is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He shed his blood for us, and that payment is sufficient for the salvation of every man, woman, and child who believes upon him to be saved. Also, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and this speaks not only of the burial of Christ, but also the sinlessness of Christ in his first advent, in his incarnation. And then the Feast of First Fruits, and Jesus Christ is called our First Fruits. Now, there's also a fourth feast, which is found among the spring feasts, which is the Feast of Pentecost, which falls on Sivan 6, the third month of the Hebrew calendar. And this feast is said to have been fulfilled on the day of Pentecost following the ascension of our Lord. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come." So these four feasts have been fulfilled already. Now, this weekend marks the day of the first of the three fall feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, better known as Rosh Hashanah, or the head of the year, the head of the civil year, the Jewish New Year's Day, if you will. All three fall feasts, and we're going to be touching on them all this morning, take place in the Hebrew month of Tishrei, which we're now in. Even as the spring feasts are associated with Jesus' first advent, the fall feasts are associated with Christ's second coming. In addition to having very much to teach us about his finished work. This morning, then, we shall look at these three fall feasts. May we be instructed by them, and may we find spiritual strength through the knowledge of fulfilled Scripture, and that Scripture which has yet to be, but shall surely be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The first of the three fall feasts is the Feast of Trumpets. The second, the Day of Atonement. And the third, the Feast of Tabernacles. First, the Feast of Trumpets. Officially, yesterday was the day of the Feast of Trumpets, Tishrei 1. But due to variances in the calendar and the timing of the sighting of the new moon in the lunar-based Hebrew calendar, it has come to be celebrated for 2 days, Tishrei 1 and Tishrei 2. And maybe that's just a little bit of an excuse to celebrate the new year for 2 days nowadays. But back then, what would happen was they would have to wait for the rabbis to verify the sighting of the new moon in order to inaugurate the new month, in order to inaugurate Tishrei. So that's where we get that from. In the biblical origin of this, the Feast of Trumpets, By the way, Rosh Hashanah is, that term is not found in the Bible. That didn't come along until the 2nd century AD. But in the Bible we read in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 through 25, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." So there would be a holy convocation, a public assembly in which the faithful would begin the 10 days repentance, leading up to and including Yom Kippur. The Feast of Trumpets, as we said, marks the first new moon of the new year. And it is associated prophetically with the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. And no Old Testament prophet, in terms of percentage of the book, I would argue, has more to say about the day of the Lord than the book of Zephaniah. And in Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, we read this. And all of these references are in your bulletin under the related scriptures section. So it's kind of a lot to take in today. Those of you who really love that deep teaching in the Word of God are going to be really, really excited. But, you know, if you're struggling a little bit following this, all those things are in the related scriptures section. And we're going to be getting to some real good applications for us today. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and it hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. Twice in Scripture it is recorded that God himself blows a trumpet. He blows the shofar. The first time that this is recorded is at the inauguration of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai. The second time, it is to announce the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find this in the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 14 through 16. Then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. And here it is, friends. The Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with whirlwinds from the south. The Lord of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones. They shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins, like the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over his land. A blessed promise of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let all Israel and let the church, which has been grafted into God's plan, rejoice. Now the church age believers shall one day be called up when the trumpet sounds, to forevermore be with the Lord Jesus, as it is written, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." The Feast of Trumpets inseparable from the doctrine of the second coming of Messiah. The second fall feast day is the Day of Atonement. In Hebrew, it is called Yom Kippur. This occurs on Tishrei 10. That would be September 28th in the year 2020. In the biblical institution is also found in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. And you shall afflict your souls. On the 9th day of the month that evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And in the Hebrew reckoning of days, of course, the day goes from evening to morning. You remember back in Genesis chapter 1, there's evening and then morning. The Day of Atonement is a day of public assembly, a holy convocation, a day of repentance, and a day to have sins covered by blood. Back in those Old Testament days, there would be great sacrifice of bulls and goats on the altar. But to us, a memorial. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, we read, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come." There it is, the first advent and the second advent, which we look forward to. "With the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." From the days of Moses to the days of the Babylonian captivity, 860 years, the blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And that mercy seat was set upon the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Today, there is no Ark of the Covenant. It has been lost, notwithstanding the claims of Indiana Jones. But the Ark of the Covenant does exist within the temple of heaven, even today, as we just read. And in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 19, its sighting is made in the middle of the end of days. Jesus has made atonement there by his blood, once for all. And so we look forward to the final salvation, the final fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. A new heaven and a new earth shall one day be your home, Christian friend. And nothing shall defile there, for the effects of Christ's covering of sin shall be full in that day. Atonement is accomplished. It is finished. The Bible says that Christ came once for sin, but that he's coming again apart from sin, that problem having already been dispatched. Sin and its power, the power of death already having been defeated. And so when he returns, he shall come back for our final salvation. The third fall feast is the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. Tishrei 15 through 22. It's an 8-day feast, and it begins this year on October the 3rd, running through the 10th. Coincidentally, I suppose, if one believes in such things as coincidences, our revival is also on the first day of the feast. And we too shall have a holy convocation that day, right outside here in the lot. And we're going to be preaching this word of God. And I'm going to be talking about the oil and the light in relation to the Feast of Tabernacles on that day. And so we'll set those things aside here for various and sundry other applications this morning. The institution of the Feast of Tabernacles is found in Leviticus chapter 23, going from 33 all the way through verse 44. I'll leave you to read that, as it's an extended passage, and get right to the point of application. The children of Israel would, and some still do, dwell in tents or booths to commemorate God's wilderness provisions, and also to rejoice in the harvest. It is the harvest. It is the ingathering of souls by which the future fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles shall take place. Jesus says this of the wheat and the tares: let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, we read of two harvests. Beginning in verse 14, the Apostle John writes, "Then I looked, behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Who is this but our Lord Jesus Christ? And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Christ is reaping his own for eternal life. And then we read this: then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." So the angel thrust a sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city. And blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. That's 184 miles. We read here of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles with regard to souls. The Feast of Ingathering shall be fulfilled. And in that day there will be two harvests, one for eternal life and one for eternal destruction. And so I ask you this morning, which future harvest will you be among? If today you fear that you will be in the wrong harvest, in the harvest of condemnation, then pray for deliverance. If you are not sure, then pray for deliverance and pray for assurance. Come to Jesus today. Lest you find yourself cast out in the last day, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Make your calling and election sure. And Christian friend, I hope that this gives you a sober cause for consideration, rejoicing in the fact that your Lord, your God, your Savior is coming back just as he said. In like manner shall he return to give you a future and a hope and an eternal one at that. And so let us praise the Lord. We also reflect upon the past fulfillment of the spring feasts, knowing that these fall feasts shall also be fulfilled. For not one word of the prophecy of this book shall fall to the ground. Friends, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the depths of the things that you have revealed to us. Lord, may we receive them as knowledge with understanding and with wisdom apply them to our lives. May we who are of the household of faith make sure that we're ready. For we know that the Son of Man shall return at an hour that we do not know. And so we ask ourselves, what shall he find us doing? If there are any here who are hearing this message and really taking these things to heart, we thank you, God, that your Spirit is doing that work in this place. For Lord, it is our earnest supplication that not one be lost, that no soul will leave here unsaved, that there shall be none found among those in that second harvest that we read of in Revelation. And Lord God, each and every one of us, here's your promise this morning, that the one who comes to you through your Son Jesus Christ shall in no wise be cast out. And so, Lord, may we pray with such a one who is calling upon your name. Be merciful to me, a sinner. For I see now that Jesus Christ is God, my Savior, and that through his shed blood, I can have a place in heaven. Knowing that because he lives, I may live also. And Lord, if you would put it into the heart of someone through your Spirit to pray such a prayer, that that individual might be found confessing before all of those in this holy convocation this morning, on this day, as we celebrate and consider your Feast of Trumpets. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.